If you want to, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 is where we'll start. If you remember, we're right toward the end of lesson 3, which is the role of the wife, and that's the big overarching thing. And we said that the role of the wife was twofold. It was to submit and respect. We'll talk more about that in just a second, but that's where we are. So let me pray, and we'll get into it. And then, Lord willing, if we get through with this one, we'll go into lesson 4, which is the responsibilities. If you know, the role is the big overarching, the responsibilities are more the details. So let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our church. Thank you for a great morning we can come together. Thank you for your love to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, which is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's perfect. It's your Word. It's profitable. It's everything. It's truth. Lord, we ask you that as we look at the roles, as we think about the family relationship, and we see marriage and family and the role of the husband and the wife and the parents and the children and all these things that we're studying, that you'll help us to see from your Word the basic truths and principles that we do. And then, Lord, the goal is that we live them out. And, Lord, we want to be different. We want to live in a standard and a way that's higher than the world. We want to live as those who are raised up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as we saw in Colossians. So, Lord, just teach us now, especially as we think about the role of the wife and then the responsibilities of the wife. Teach us now. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just a quick review. You remember where we are. We talked about marriage and family as a whole, and we looked at a whole bunch of different things. And then we started with the wife, and we said there are two parts to it. There's the role of the wife, and then the responsibilities of the wife. The role of the wife is sort of what we call the big overarching thing that she does, and the responsibilities are more of the details. And if you remember the role of the wife, we made it as two different things. One is to submit. The other is to respect. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 22. Just look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 22. It says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. As the church is subject to Christ, so wives ought to be to their husbands and everything." So there's the submit part. Then if you notice down in verse 33 of Ephesians 5, "Nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his own wife as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." So last week we got into all this, and we actually spent time on the whole idea of submission, and we talked about what it is and what it's not. It is not obeying. The Bible doesn't say wives obey your husbands. It doesn't say that. It says submit to your husbands. The Bible does say children obey your parents. The word for obey is hupo-okuo, which means under, to come under, to hear under. And that's what children are to do. They're to hear what we say and do what we say. So that's obedience. But the word for submit is hupo-tasso. Hupo means under, tasso means command, to come under the command, come under the headship. They're not an inferiority or superiority aspect. It's just two different roles. And so the wife is to submit. And we said that men and women are equal. They're fellow heirs of the grace of God, fellow heirs of salvation. All of those kind of things. And the passage that we started with back over in Colossians says, as fitting in the Lord. I mean, this is the right thing to do. We did say this, that one of the keys, and we'll get to it when we get to the men, is that the men are to love and lead. And we'll go more details later, but loving leadership, and that ties together. We looked in Ephesians, and we went through this and all of that. So the bottom line, the wife, the first thing that we saw, and this is where we got to last week, is the wives are to submit to their husbands. And it's not a bad term. Our culture uses submit as bad. Like, if you have to come under somebody's authority, they're better than you are. That's not true. Because we submit to the government. We submit to authorities over us. We submit to teachers in the body. The believers submit to the elders. The Christ submits to the Father. I mean, there's not an equal, not a superiority, inferiority. It's just a whole role system that God has set up. The second part, and this is where I wanted us to get today, and we may get through with this and start in the other one, but the second part is the wives are to respect their husbands. And I want to just say this, that the way it's written in this, in verse 33, it's an unconditional respect. It's a respect. It says, just as the husband is to love the wife, and it's an unconditional love, and he loves her enough to die for her, then the wife is to respect her husband. It goes together with submission. We talked about it. How in the world do you want to submit to somebody you don't respect? So it ties together. The overall role is respectful submission. We talked about that idea, and we said that men and women are different, and we did this last week. We said men and women are different. Men are, if you think about it, men are physically bigger, stronger, emotionally, not always as expressive. Doesn't mean they're not as emotional. They may not express it in the same way intellectually. We've always talked about this, that biblically, scientifically and everything else, that men tend to use just one side of their brain at a time, where women tend to use both at the same, and basically at the same time. And we talked about it, that men are like, we think in boxes. We think in this thing, and then this thing, and this thing. And if you're talking about this thing, we're thinking about this thing. We're not even thinking about these other things. But you, the women, are like rivers, and everything flows together. You don't forget anything. Everything just flows together, and it all ties together. And so when you talk, sometimes we're still over in this box, and we're not even listening yet, because we're not out of that box. And we talked about that. And sometimes in communication, it's real easy for men and women not to communicate, because we think differently. And here's another thing. Men, next slide, if we got it, men experience love differently than women. And we talked about that. And we're going to get, when we get to the role of the man, and he loves and leads and provides and protects and all of those kind of things, we're going to go back to, how does the woman feel loved? Well, we're right now in the section where it's the woman's role. And the real question is, how does the man feel loved? And we talked about it over and over again, that men feel loved when they feel respected. And if they don't feel respected, they don't feel loved. That's just the way it is. And as I told you last time about a survey, and they said, and let me put this slide up, because we talked about this. Men need to be the next slide. Men is, he's the prince, she's the princess. It's the story that a story as old as time, right? That there is the princess and Prince Charming, and the damsel in distress, and the beautiful young woman, the beautiful woman, no matter what, and the man has come to be the one to save her, the one to protect her, the one to provide, and the man has to see himself as that. And you can start with little or big. It's always that same thing. And you can put a little boy on the floor, and he's playing with blocks, and their cars, and they're crashing, and they're fighting. And you can put a little girl on the floor, and she's saying, "Let's have a tea party." Right? And just, they're different, and I don't care what anybody says, they're not the same, and you know it, and you can't, you know, we could, the culture says one thing, but we know what's real, and we know what the Bible says. Men and women are totally different. We think differently. Men have to be the prince. You want a man to feel loved, he has to be the prince. He has to be the defender, the fighter. He has to be the one going back and forth with Braveheart. He has to be the one that's gonna in the Lord of the Rings, we're gonna defend our city. We're gonna go out and fight. It has to be the one in Titanic when they're saying, "Women and children into the boats." The men are all gonna stay right here. We're gonna die. We're gonna die because that's our role. And so if a woman wants the man to feel loved, she has to respect him. It's an unconditional respect. We're going to talk more about some of that in just a minute. And women need to understand, I think the next slide does say, this respect is an unconditional respect, just as he is to unconditionally love the wife. He loves her as Christ loved the church, which is unconditional, enough to die for her. Now, the question that comes up a lot of times, now this is where it's a little bit different than what people think, is people say, but don't you have to earn respect? Not in the husband-wife relationship. Just like the wife does not have to earn his love. He does not have to earn her respect. This is what's a little bit hard. The book, Love and Respect, and this book to me is probably the best. If you said, I'm looking for a book that might be good for husband and wife, relationships, you know, anything like that. The book Love and Respect by Emerson Eggerich is one of the best I've ever seen. In fact, where I used to give out a book, like when I do premarital counseling, I say, "Hey, y'all read this book. It's a good book." I'm now giving out this book. It's the best one. I've got a few quotes from that book that I want to read to you, because this whole idea of, okay, the woman has to earn the love of the man, or the man has to earn the respect of the woman. And I said, and let me just say it. I don't know if I even quoted the thing a while ago. In the survey, if they said to a man, would you rather have your wife say, "I love you," or would you rather have your wife say, "I respect you"? 80% said, "I want to be respected," because that's really how they feel loved. And let me give you a few quotes from the book. Listen to this, and we can talk about it. Here's what he says. This is on page 44 of his book, Love and Respect. When the wife says her husband will have to earn her respect before she gives him any, She leaves her husband in a lose-lose situation. He's now responsible for both love and respect in the relationship. He must unconditionally love his wife, and he must also win her respect. And then Eggersrich says, no wonder he shuts down. Because what he says is, I can't win in this one. I can't do this. I'm trying to love her the best I can, but she doesn't respect me. I don't know how I'm going to get this. It's not, I can't do it. He goes on to say later, in a typical marriage, after the first year, he knows his wife loves him, but she neither likes him or admires him for who he is as a human being. She'll spend her energy to help change him by her loving criticism, which feels like contempt to him. And that happens so often. Oh, honey, pick it. Why are you such a slouch, honey? I love you, but look at this. She doesn't even like me, is what he thinks. Oh, she loves me. She's committed to me. You know, she said she would, and it's only been a year. Surely she hadn't changed that fast. But anyway, she thinks I'm a jerk. She thinks I'm a mess. What she actually realizes, he's a man, which is a lot different. Is this not right? Are we not a lot different? Men are not a lot different from women? And things we do, y'all would never do, right? You don't even think about doing them. We're going, what's wrong with that? Right? And so in a typical marriage, he thinks she loves him, but she doesn't even like him or admire him anymore. Later on, he says this. If a wife says, this is right. I need your love. So start loving me and then I'll respect you. That won't work because the attitude is in itself disrespectful and it triggers unloving reaction. Now, let me just say this and I didn't bring it out a while ago. When the man feels disrespected, he will not love. And then she doesn't feel love. And if she doesn't feel love, she's not going to respect him. So he says, well, if I don't feel respected, I'm not going to love. And she says, if I'm not going to love, I'm not going to respect you. And it's called the cycle. And in the book, he talks about the cycle. And what has to happen is one of you have to stop the cycle. Because if you're saying, he doesn't love me the way I ought to love me, so I'm not sure not going to respect him the way he thinks I'm going to respect him. And if he says, well, if she's not going to respect me the way she ought to respect me, I'm sure not going to show her all this. And that cycle never stops. And it gets faster and faster. And so one of them's going to have to say, whether he loves me or not, I'm going to respect him. And he's got to say, whether she respects me or not, I'm going to love her completely. Now listen to this quote. If the wife says, this is right, I need your love, so start loving me. And then I'll show you respect. It won't work because the attitude's disrespectful in itself. And he says, that's not going to happen. And I'm not going to love you because of that. Now look at this. If the man says, that's right, you respect me and I'll be more loving. That won't work either. Because the attitude is not loving. And it triggers disrespect. And they go together. And one of the things in the book that I like so much, and really it's biblical. I mean, you know, we're not saying we're studying this book. We're studying truths from the Bible. But this guy has hit on this respect issue that most people don't. Most people say, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. That's what they say. They don't get to the respect part. They don't get to the loving leadership part. They don't do it. And it's two for the men, love and lead. It's two for the woman, respect and submit. And they go together. And so, nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his own wife, even as himself, and see to it that the wife respects her husband. They have to go together, love and respect. As we think about the role of the wife, we see the two overarching aspects. She is to submit and to respect. Which we call it respectful submission. And for the man, we're going to get to it in a little bit. It won't be this next lesson. It'll be the lesson after that. He is to love and lead. And I call it loving leadership, respectful submission. And they go together. If they don't go together, you have a cycle. See, when they're operating correctly, you don't have the cycle. When they're not operating correctly, you've got, I'll love when she respects. I'll respect when he loves. And it goes like that. It's powerful. So think about the wife's role. Submit, come under the authority, he is the head. This has nothing to do with inferiority or superiority. Has nothing to do with who's smart or not. In fact, let me just say this, and we're going to talk about it later, especially when we get to the men's role and we get to the idea of making decisions. If you as the man are the head of your home in that sense, and here comes a decision to be made, and you've got to make a decision. The very best thing you should do at the very beginning is say, honey, what do you think? Here it is. What do you think? Because here's why. Because you think totally different than they do. A man says, boom, I see this, and I see this. That solves it right there. You say, what do you think, honey? And she says, well, I think this, this, and this. And you go, what are you talking about? You know, I didn't even see that, right? That's pretty good. I'm glad you pointed that out to me, right? And so the submission is not the man comes in and he's the boss and he tells everybody what we're doing. That's not what it means. Remember, submission means come under the authority. He's been placed in the headship, and we as a team are going through life together, and there are decisions to be made. But ultimately, before God, who has to make the decision? They may talk about it together. I always use this example when I do premarital counseling. I say, what if the guy comes into the wife and says, honey, I think we need to do this. In fact, we're going to do this. What do you think? And she says, well, I don't really want to. Well, why? I don't think it'd be a good idea. Why? And they go over it. And he goes, you're right. I never thought of it that way. Okay, we're not going to do that. Who made the decision? He did. He still has to make the decision. He says, honey, after what you say, and I look at this, I think the better route is this way. That's what we're talking about. So submission is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Second, respect. Unconditional. He will feel loved. And if the wife doesn't do that, it's a mess for the man. And vice versa, if the man doesn't love, it's a mess for the woman. And we'll see that. Let me give you a couple of applications, and then we'll open it up for any questions you have before we start into lesson four, if you want to do that. So first application, let us, as believers, set the pattern in the community. Let's set the pattern. I mean, think about this. In this community, there are families everywhere, family units everywhere. There's mamas and daddies and children and all kind of things. And there are people. There's a campus of 22,000 students, most of them single, most of them wanting to be married, most of them not knowing what is the role of a man, what is the role of a woman, what is the role of the husband, what is the role of the wife, how does it work, how does it fit? And so the first one is we need to be the pattern. And let me tell you, there's all kind of things. I'm not even sure if I may have talked about it in this one. Yeah, there's a thing, and I'll talk about it in the next lesson, but the whole apprentice thing and the mentoring thing is gone out of a lot of things. But, you know, wouldn't it be a good idea if some of you families, some of you had been married for a period of time, that you would let me know that you would be willing to mentor and help some young couples who are either just about to get married or just got married? Because, see, people come into my office, and I do weddings. And what if I could say to this couple, okay, listen, before you get married, I've got a family. I've got a couple in the church that would love to get with you just on a regular basis, maybe once a month, once every 2 to 3 weeks before you get married, or even after you get married, just so that you could see a relationship, a husband and wife, and how they function with the kids. So if any of you are interested in that, let me know. You got to have a decent marriage, okay? I mean, it's a mess. I'm not going to say, look at that one. Oh, boy. But so that's an idea, wouldn't it? Let's set the... So if you think you qualify, which none of us do now, I'd like to eliminate the whole program. But the truth is, you do. If you would like to help in that, let me know. Because we've got couples, you know, by the grace of God, I think I've done 260 weddings in my years here. So I've had a lot of time to get to be with people and books and reading and helping, and there's great stuff. Okay, the second application is wives respectfully submit to your husbands. And let's just say it started this way. In the cycle right now, since we dealt with the wives first, if you're in the cycle, why don't you be the one to stop it? Why don't you be the one to stop it and just say, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to respect him unconditionally. And I'm going to submit to him. I'm going to fulfill my role. And hopefully it'll stop the cycle. And we'll see what happens and how we can start really making it the right way. Fulfill your role. Come under the authority. It has nothing to do with inferiority or superiority. Understand the role. Submit and respect. It will make a man feel loved. I don't know what it is about us as guys, but the moment we think we are needed, the moment we think that we're important in some way, we change. We'll do anything. We'll do anything. Honey, I can't move this because it's too heavy. I got it. Right? Isn't that how we feel? I got it. I can do that. I'll take care of that. Don't worry, we'll take care of that. Because that's what men have to feel. They have to feel like they're the prince. And so wives, respectfully submit to your husband. Is that the bell? That's the first bell. That's the first bell. Okay, let's stop for a minute before we get into the next lesson. Let's stop. Questions, comments, input, anything. Myrna, and then, yeah, let me. Myrna had her hand up first. I'm sorry.
I noticed that my children were not respecting Jim. And I examined my life. I was setting the wrong example.
Now, when was this? This was younger days? Okay, did you hear what Myrna said? And that's a great statement and a powerful statement. She said that she began to notice that her, as her kids were growing up, they weren't respecting Jim. And she thought, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then you said,
I examined my life, and it was me that was the problem. I was setting the wrong example.
Wow.
And I began respecting Jim.
And then it turned around on them.
Also, there was a time I asked Jim, do you fear me? And he said, yes.
What did he mean? But you asked, do you fear me? And he said, yes. What did you mean by that? Felt like overbearing, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah. But I just prayed, God, change me.
Mm-hmm.
And God began to change me.
Mm-hmm.
And this last year, before Jim passed away,
mm-hmm.
he told me I was the most godly woman he knew.
Isn't that the sweetest thing? Wow. And see, Myrna is saying something that's so powerful, because her point isn't, you got to change your spouse. And don't worry, does it? You change yourself. And if we're looking at this thing and we're on the cycle and I'm saying, I'm not going to show this love until she respects me. And if she's saying, I'm not going to respect him until he shows me love, the person we got to change is not that person. The person we got to change is us. And we say, I'm stopping the cycle. And if he doesn't feel respected, I'm going to make him feel respected. If she doesn't feel loved, I'm going to make her feel loved. Great point, Myrna.
And I missed the submission.
Oh, you missed the submission. Oh, my. Did y'all hear that? Right. You miss him a lot.
Yes.
I know. We all miss him.
Since
yeah.
Jim's gone, I miss going to him and saying, what do I do?
Right. And together,
so
and then,
to God
right,
now,
right, right, right. What did you have?
Well, I could add a whole volume to this.
Okay.
What she said is so true, having been a widow for 34 years. Of course you miss the person that you loved, but like she said, there's so many things that no one else has the same interest and the same dedication to your problems or your questions that you and your mate had. So you're on your own, pretty much, to make these decisions, and that is a void that you cannot fill.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I was going to point out is, what you said about the community. We have such an uphill battle against what our kids see constantly on TV. And I'll have to admit, some of it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
The men are always played out to be just a bunch of, baboons. They don't know anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you've got to overcome that part of it. And my son didn't have a father in his growing up years because he was killed when Carson was very young. And he said to me as he grew older, he said, I seek older couples to watch them to see how they handle problems in life. He said, you and Daddy never really seemed to have any problems, or else he said, I was so little I didn't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I have no pattern to really look at.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you said has so much merit.
She said something really powerful. If you go back 40 years, 50 years, you have Father Knows Best. And the whole family unit was based around a daddy. We don't know what he did. He was some kind of salesman, but he was always home, right? And so he's coming home, and there's the little girl and the middle girl and the oldest and the son and the mama. And, you know, when the issues came, it came back to the daddy. And then you go now, and you've got the daddy is the baboon. He is. He's an idiot. He's, what's the show? I'm trying to think. Everybody loves Raymond. I mean, Raymond is a complete idiot. We love Raymond, but he doesn't know anything about life or anything. I mean, and so when you look at that, you say, daddies don't know anything. They're just stupid. I mean, the mom is the only one that's got any insight in a family because the daddy's just going, I thought all I care about is baseball and watching TV, you know? And that's what's wrong with our culture. If you turn on the TV, you get a family unit that is so warped, if it's even a family unit, that our kids growing up today, unless they have you as the pattern, they're not going to understand it. And as we see, we don't seek to change our spouse. We seek to change ourselves. And that'll work. Has there been the second bell yet? It has. Okay. All right. Well, good stuff. Good input. Okay. Next time, there'll be 4 to 5 to 6, 7, 8 pages of the wife's responsibility. And after there'll be a page and a half of the men's in large print. So we'll with drawings, you know, with drawings and pictures to help us. I do. The toilet paper roll cannot be filled by itself. Someone has to actually put it there. That's for the men. There'll be pictures. There'll be all kind of things to help us get through our time. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our class. Thank you, Lord, for godly people, godly men and women who seek to live for you and to fulfill the roles and to be an example and make a difference and to impact their children and impact their community. Thank you for our class. Lord, we just want to be men and women, men who love and lead and women who respect and submit, and that we do the things that you have for us so that when we stand before you one day, you'll say, well done. And that our kids will be able to say, I saw my mama and my daddy and I saw what they did. And we can do that. Lord, thank you for the ones in this class. Thank you for a great time. Most of all, thank you for Jesus, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.